श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 1 वर्स नंबर 4 प्लीज रिपीट नैमिषे अनिमिष क्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रम् स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम् आसत नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम आसत सहस्र समम आसत नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम आसत नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम आसत नैमिषे अनिमिष क्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम आसत नैमिषे निमिषक्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्र समम आसत Anybody would like to repeat? Naimishe nimisha kshetre Vishaya shaunaka Satram swargaya lokaya Naimishe nimisha kshetre सहस्र समम आसत नैमिषे निमिष क्षेत्रे तत्रम स्वर्ग माताजी नैमिषे निमिष क्षेत्रे ऋषया शौनकादयः सत्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय ऋषया शौनकादया त्रम स्वर्गाय लोकाय sahasra samam asata. Sometimes it is better not to depend on the technology, so we can, you know, concentrate more on our ears. So maybe it's Krishna's plan. So please repeat. Naimishe, in the forest known as Naimisharanya. Animisha Kshetre, the spot which is especially a favorite of Vishnu, who does not close his eyelids. Rishayaha, sages. Shaunaka Adayaha, headed by the sage Shaunak. Satram, sacrifice. Swargaya, the Lord who is glorified in heavens. Lokaya, and for the devotees who are always in touch with the Lord. Sahasra, 1,000. Samam, years. Asata, performed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisharanya, great sages, headed by the sage Shaunak, assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and His devotees. Purport. The prelude of the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous 3 shlokas. Now, the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Shukadeva Goswami, was repeated for the second time at Naimisharanya. In the Vayaviya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisharanya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisharanya in the Varaha Puran, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmanas prefer Naimisharanya for such sacrificial performances. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for His pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and His devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shaunak and others assembled at this holy place of Naimisharanya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vidyadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually, despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of Godhead, like detached branches and leaves, is not capable of being watered. And one attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans, which are being made by atheistic leaders, are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of his teachings in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. Om Adhyanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I offer my humble obeisances to Savas Prabhu and all the assembled Vaishnavas so that I can speak something. So this is a very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is mentioning how Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the source of everything, and just like the twigs or the branches which are not connected to Lord Vishnu, the twigs and branches, if they are not connected to the root, then they will naturally get weaker, because they will not, you know, get the supply or nourishment, and they will get weaker. The same way, if the society is not connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, if everyone is not cooperating for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, then that society may not flourish or may not be in the right direction. So we see this mentality is very clearly available in the spiritual world, where everyone is working together in the mood of service just for the pleasure of Krishna or Lord Vishnu. They do not have their personal agenda, or they do not have any personal ulterior motive. They are all tuned in for the pleasure of Krishna. And that is why in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan, or in all the spiritual planets, all the devotees are cooperating with each other. And we see in the material world, this mentality is perverted. So instead of cooperation, everyone is competing. So that's the basic difference between spiritual world and material world. In the spiritual world, there is a description in Bhagavatam that one time when Krishna was in Govardhan, he was herding his cows with his friends. The sun became hot. One day the sun became hot. And then the wind became ecstatic because he got a service. So the wind started to flow towards Govardhan, knowing that Krishna is at Govardhan. While the wind was going, Yamuna, the river, and she asked, "Hey wind, where are you going? Are you going towards Krishna?" Wind says, "Yes." So the river Yamuna says, take some water particles from me with you, so that Krishna will feel soothing. You know, he will feel soothing effect. And the wind goes ahead, and some flowers, they ask, hey wind, are you going towards Krishna? When wind says yes, then the flowers say, take some pollens from us, take some fragrance. And we see, you know, the clouds which are at distance, they come close just in order to protect Krishna and provide shade to Krishna and the cowherd boys. So we see the mentality, the theme of spiritual world is cooperation. So it's like, you know, everyone is in sync. Just like in the morning, 4:30, Mangal Arati, we all gather and we are singing for the pleasure of Rukmini Dwarkadeshir. So, you know, one person is singing and there is a tune that everyone is supposed to follow, right? If a person starts to follow in his own concocted tune, or if somebody starts to play kartals, you know, in a different rhythm, then it is disturbing to everyone. Or, you know, if at the time of Bhagavatam class, if a person walks with a huge multi-layer tiffin box and he opens the tiffin box and starts Mahaprasade Govinde, so everyone will feel disturbed. Because, you know, our aim is we have to be in sync with each other. We have to serve the deities. We have to serve the senior devotees in the mood that we should all be in sync and cooperating with each other. So if somebody is starting his own thing, then naturally, you know, Savas Prabhu will come to him and say, that first with love that person will be given a chance, you know, to understand the right process. But if the person is envious or if the person doesn't want to follow, then he is given a different facility. You know, he may be asked to go to his house and do whatever he wants, because we have a certain process. Just like Prabhupada says that even while following spiritual process, there is a little condition that you have to follow. Once that small little condition is satisfied, then there is unlimited pleasure. Like Prabhupada gives example that while entering the temple, you should just leave outside your shoes. That is a little condition that you have to follow. So once we keep our shoes of envy or ego outside, then you can enjoy unlimitedly. Then, you know, you will be welcome and you can, you know, dance, chant, have wonderful feast, unlimited pleasure. But we have to sacrifice and follow that small little condition. And in the spiritual world, that condition is we should not be envious and we should not be disobedient. So today's verse, you know, is about such assembly where all the Vaishnavas, all the great sages have assembled to perform a great thousand-year sacrifice in Naimisharanya. So, you know, just in the same example, if a person is, you know, is asked to be in his own house, you know, not allowed here if he wants to do his own thing, then out of mercy, you know, the temple president, you know, Savas Prabhu may still remember that person and say that, oh, that devotee is very wonderful. Actually, he is a very nice person. He is not a bad person. But he just doesn't know. You know, there is some small impurity. He just needs some training. So, out of compassion, he may send some senior devotees to his house for training purpose. So this is how Krishna mercifully sends his, you know, close associates in the material world. Like our own Srila Prabhupada, we see he was given such an impossible task, and he was always praying, "Please, you have given me this task. My spiritual master ordered me. Now help me in fulfilling. Otherwise, what is the reason, Krishna, you would bring me to this place, this Western country? You have brought me for some reason, and you fulfill that reason. You have given me the name Bhaktivedanta, and now you only can fulfill the meaning of Bhaktivedanta." So Krishna sends pure devotees to the material world, just because of compassion, and to give training to those conditioned souls, you know, who have been asked, those who were in the spiritual world, but somehow they could not, you know, follow due to some independent enjoyment propensity. Like Prabhupada was asked several times, how can someone come to the material world from the spiritual world? Prabhupada, you know, several times he gave several answers, but mostly he said that causeless stupidity, or sometimes he said causeless envy. You know, some small thing, just like I said, you know, that you want to follow your own thing, and then you are given that same facility in the material world. So in this today's verse, we see the sages have gathered in Naimisharanya, and everyone is performing a sacrifice for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu and his devotees. So those sages are thinking that who should be the right person to sit on the Vyasasana, and who can talk to us and answer our questions and enlighten us. So they find that Suta Goswami is the perfect person, because he is free from all vices. He is well versed in all the shastras, puranas, you know, smritis, and all the literature. And he has heard the knowledge from the authoritative sources like Vyasadeva, and he has heard Srimad Bhagavatam personally from Shukadeva Goswami, who is the original reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, like in today's words, Srila Prabhupada mentioned. So Suta Goswami starts to explain that one time there was this king of the whole world, who is grandson of Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj. He was the king of the world, and he was out hunting, and he became thirsty and parched, and he was looking for a place where he can, you know, have some water. So he went to the ashram of Shamik Muni, and Shamik Rishi was in deep meditation, and Parikshit Maharaj was not received properly. According to Vedic tradition, any guest that comes in your house should be welcomed and received properly. You know, Atithi Devo Bhava, he should be treated as God. But he was not received properly. At the same time, he is king, and king has a right to, you know, give a small punishment. So he thought this dead reception is behavior, like his behavior is like a dead snake. So there was a dead snake lying there on the ground. So Parikshit Maharaj took the dead snake and wrapped it around the neck of Shamik Rishi. When Shamik Rishi came to know, he did not mind, but his small son Sringi, he felt offended, and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj that you will die in 7 days and seven nights. Now you can imagine, the king of the entire world is given this curse, who is also happened to be grandson of Arjuna, and when he was in the womb of his mother Uttara, you know, we know the chapter when Ashwatthama sent Brahmastra to kill Pandava's son, like Abhimanyu's son was Parikshit, who was in the womb of Uttara. So that time, Uttara prayed to Krishna that please protect my child. If you have to take life, take my life, but please protect my child. That time Krishna entered the womb of Uttara and he protected Parikshit Maharaj. That is why Parikshit Maharaj was well known as Vishnu Rat. Vishnu Rat means the one who is always protected by Lord Vishnu. And he always liked that name. So he thought, Lord Vishnu will always protect me. My name is Vishnu Rat, and if I have received such a curse to die in 7 days and seven nights, it must be a reason, it must be a scheme of Lord Vishnu. So he accepted the curse. Because he was a pure devotee and he was so strong, he could have, you know, just rejected the curse, or he could have cursed Sringi back. But as a great Vaishnava, he simply accepted, thinking that it is the desire of Lord. And then he renounced everything. He sat on the, you know, banks of Ganges, and he was determined to fast until death. But he was not understanding why this all is happening. I was doing so good. I was the king. I had so many wives, nice children, and I never did any adharma. I was always a righteous king. Why this calamity came upon me? The answer was found in due course of time, when all the sages started to gather in support of the king. And then Shukadeva Goswami appeared there. And then he understood that this is Krishna's mercy upon me, that Krishna is giving me Vaishnava Sangha. Krishna is giving me association of a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, Shukadeva Goswami. So the time when they both agree, you know, when Parikshit Maharaj accepted Shukadeva Goswami as the spiritual master, the first question he asked is, Atha Purchami Samsiddhim Yoginam Paramam Gurum Purushyasyeha Yatkaryam Riyamanasya Sarvataha. He did not ask why this is happening to me. He did not ask, like, how can I kill Sringi, or how can we, you know, get rid of the curse. He asked the question, please tell me what is the duty of a person at all the times. Especially, please tell me what is the duty of the person who is about to die. That was his, you know, perfect question. And Shukadeva Goswami responded, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavya Cho Ichita Abhayam. Whoever desires to be free from all the miseries must hear about, glorify. And Shrotavya, that person must hear, Kirtitavya, must glorify Lord Vishnu, and Smartavya, always remember Lord Vishnu, who is the super soul, who is the Sarvatma, Bhagavan, Ishwar, who is the real controller, who is the cause of all causes. So, this is how the Bhagavatam, you know, begins. And from tomorrow, we'll see how Shukadeva Goswami will be giving answers to all the wonderful questions of Parikshit Maharaj. And basically, Bhagavatam deals with 10 topics. Atra sarga visarga sthanam poshanam uteha manvantara ishanu katha nirodha mukti and ashraya. So 10 topics are covered in Bhagavatam. So the beginning with sarga, creation. So, you know, there is sarga means creation, the primary creation, which happens through the agency of Purushavataras. Like Krishna expands in Balram, then Balram expands in Sankarshan, Sankarshan expands in Narayan, then Mahasankarshan, and then Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the first Purushavatar, and from whom Mahatattva begins, the material world, which is emanating, you know, in the form of millions of, you know, unlimited number of universes are coming out of the pores of body of Mahavishnu. And then in each of that Brahmanda, there is Mahavishnu who expands in the second Purusha avatar, which is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. So in those Brahmanda, there is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And then from Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Brahma, who is the secondary creator, is created. Brahma's son is Shiva. And then this is how, creation, the primary creation takes place through the agency of Krishna, through Purusha avataras. So, from Brahma, different species are created. So, what is the difference between Sarga and Visarga? Visarga is sub-creation. So, Sarga means the primary creation, the first topic of Bhagavatam. It talks about the elementary creation of 16 basic items of matter. Prabhupada writes in 2.10.1 onwards, there are five elements, fire, water, earth, air, and ether. Then five sense objects, sound, form, taste, smell, touch. And then six senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, and mind. So these basic elements come from Purusha avatar, from Krishna. That's why Krishna is called, or Mahavishnu is called, the primary creator. And just like a father may give his child, they have this Lego, building blocks. So the building blocks are given by Lord Vishnu, and Brahma uses those building blocks and creates whatever he wants. So then Visarga, the sub-creation, the subsequent resultant interaction of the modes of material nature, the interaction of senses and sense objects, is called Visarga, which is also called manifestation of external energy of the Lord. So first canto and second canto, we can see Sarga and Visarga is very nicely explained in detail. Then Sthanam and Poshanam. Sthanam is like different planetary systems that are created by the Lord just to fulfill those desires of the living entity to be independent of the Lord. And the living entity wants to enjoy separate. So Krishna provides them with sthana. Everyone has received a position, a sthana. Just like, according to the law of karma, previous activities performed by the living entity and the current activities and the desires and the behavior of the living entity, everyone has got a particular place, in a particular house, particular background, particular family, the type of parents, that decides the type of body, that decides, your likings, dislikings, according to the body. So everything is according to the protection of Lord Krishna. Sthanam, like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Samoham sarva bhuteshu nasti dvesho na priha. I am equal to everyone. No one is dear to me and I hate no one. Everyone is equal. That is the concept of sthanam. But poshanam is one step ahead. So in sthanam, we see canto 3 and 4 and 5, where there are wonderful pastimes of Daksha Prajapati and Dhruva Maharaj, Prachin Barishyad, and it is nicely explained, bhakti, devotional service, in the mode of ignorance, devotional service in the mode of passion, devotional service in the mode of goodness. How, even devotional service can be, performed in these modes, even until the time one is completely pure. So poshanam is like, in the same verse, Krishna says, samoham sarva bhuteshu nasti dvesho na priya. Ye bhajanti apitu mam bhaktya maite teshu chapi aham. But those living entities who surrender unto me, who are, completely dedicated to me, for them, they live in me and I live in them. So that's a close and thick relationship. That is called poshanam. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj was denied, to sit on the lap of his father Uttanpad, that time he came to his mother crying, And the mother said, what is the use of crying? You will cry and I will add to the tears. It will not solve the problem. It's better you go and find Lord Vishnu. Because the only person who can absorb the tears of everyone is Lord Vishnu, is Lord Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna has the heart of millions and millions of mothers. So that is poshanam. Like a king will provide the necessities of life to all the citizens. Whoever, you know, according to their own inclinations. The king will provide. But to his own son, the king will take a special care. So that is the difference between sthanam and poshanam. Poshanam is like, you know, Krishna's very close, very intense care and love for his own devotees. Like Krishna says in the chapter of Amrish Maharaj that sadhunam grastarudhaya aham bhakta paradhina ya swatantra ivadvija. He says, I am not independent. I am completely dependent on my devotees. So if you have offended Amrish Maharaj, you go and beg forgiveness to Amrish Maharaj. Because I am sold out to my devotees. I am not independent. So we see, Krishna always protects his devotees. That is the concept of poshanam. Like Indra committed such a great offense. All the demons that came to Vrindavan, they just came with the intention to kill Krishna. Or maybe some of his coward friends which were with him. But Indra was the person who tried to kill every person, every cow, every calf in Vrindavan. He wanted to kill everyone along with Krishna. So it appears that Indra's offense can never be forgiven. You know, if demons received such a treatment that they were killed so brutally by Krishna in no time. But Indra's offense, Krishna said, okay, don't do it next time. Just take care of yourself. So, you know, that is like poshanam. Even the last chapter we were reading the last time, like Brahma Vimohan. So Krishna protected Lord Brahma by taking away his ego, that particular mentality. So there are wonderful pastimes in Canto 6 about Vritrasur Chitraketu Maharaj, how Krishna protected his devotees. And then there are other chapters, other topics of Bhagavatam, Uti, you know, Canto 7, Prahlad Maharaj, and interaction with his father, Hiranyakashipu, describes Uti, how, you know, there is emergence of auspicious and inauspicious desires, which lead to auspicious and inauspicious activities. So, Krishna gives us the best example of the person who is auspicious, completely auspicious, Prahlad Maharaj. And in the same house, Krishna gives us the example of the person who is symbol of inauspiciousness, who is Hiranyakashipu. And Krishna shows the contrast and how Krishna will always protect his devotee, Prahlad. Manvantara, the next topic of Bhagavatam, which is there in Canto 8. Manu is like an administrator of Lord Brahma. So there are different Manus, they have their own reigns, and you know, Lord appears in different reigns of different Manus. So that is all described in Canto 8, where there is Gajendra Moksha, there is Mohini Murti, Kurmavatar. Ishanu Katha is like description of the different dynasties and you know, the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. That is Ishanu Katha. Nirodha is different ways of dissolution. So in the first canto and second canto, creation is described. And in the 12th canto, at the end, Nirodha is described. How everything is annihilated at the end. So there are four types of dissolutions explained, and it is said that Parikshit Maharaj, who is supposed to die, so at the end, Shukdev Goswami is giving the knowledge of Nirodha, is giving the knowledge of dissolution telling him that this entire creation, which is so intricate, it's so nicely designed, but it will be annihilated. It will ultimately all go away. So you don't have to fear for the dissolution of your own, you know, insignificant body. It's like dhirastatrana muhyati. Tata dehantara prapti dhira tatra namuhyati. You don't have to fear for your death. That's why the last canto is there just to show how futile is this entire material creation. The entire material creation is temporary. What to talk of your own bodies, your own families. Nothing is secured. So it's better you think about mukti, which is the next, which is the ninth subject matter of Bhagavatam, mukti. A person should always try to find what is the real problem of life. The janma mrutyu chakra, the cycle of birth and death, and we are being thrown continuously in the womb of different types of mothers, you know, again and again, and we're trying to foolishly satisfy our tendency to, you know, enjoy this material world. And if we cannot completely satisfy this tendency, then those living entities, at the time of annihilation, they go back in the womb of Vishnu. And they have to just remain there with those all unfulfilled desires until the time of next creation. So why do we have to, you know, wait for so many, you know, so such a long time? It's better that we concentrate on mukti, which is the science of God realization. Mukti or liberation is very nicely described in Canto 11, where there is Sankhya Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga is described. Also the process of deity worship, Uddhava Gita. So Krishna is showing that let's focus on the primary aspect of our life. Just, you know, finish the business. Like Prabhupada used to say, our main business should be to purify first ourselves. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, janma sarthaka kari kar paropakar. First you perfect your life and then do paropakar. So in today's purport, Prabhupada also writes that the reason these all great people, the great devotees come to this world is to give paropakar for the betterment of all the entire human society. It's like lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane manno sharanyakar. Their only purpose is to give Krishna consciousness to others. And the last subject matter is ashraya, the samambonam, where Krishna's pastimes are described in Canto 10, which is like the crescendo of all auspiciousness, the samam bonam. There is nothing better to do than that. It is said, Shri Krishna Sharanam Samasta Jagatam Krishnam Vina Kagati Krishnena Pratihanyate Kalimalam Krishnaya Karyam Namaha. Krishna's activities are so marvelous, so wonderful, that just by oral reception of those wonderful, marvelous activities, the dirt accumulated by Kali Yuga will be cleansed off. And I offer my humble obeisances to that wonderful activities of Lord Krishna. So, we should all surrender to Krishna. That is the samam bonam. Because that Krishna, which is sought by Lord Brahma and all the 330 million demigods, that Krishna, you know, after whom even Lakshmi Devi is running, that Krishna, all the world is, you know, running behind. That Krishna is running behind the cows in Vrindavan. So that's the samambonam of Canto 10. So Srila Prabhupada created this wonderful ocean of love, you know, in the form of his wonderful books, in the form of his wonderful purports. All we have to do is happily drawn in the waves of that ocean of love and transcendental knowledge that He has created for all of us in the form of His books, in the form of His Bhaktivedanta purport. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya. Anybody has questions? Parvata Muni Prabhu. Yeah, so devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Usually it is for Kanishta Adhikari devotees. Their main quality of a Kanishta Adhikari, who is a neophyte, is he loves deities, but he doesn't love devotees. He has developed love for Krishna or the deities, but he doesn't like devotees that much. So we can see these examples everywhere. People stay close to the temple, they don't want to come to the temple. And they like to serve the deities because deities never give any feedback, however you serve them. But the devotees always give feedback without asking. So there are many examples, even Daksha Prajapati, the chapter of Daksha Prajapati, when he was doing yajna, sacrifice, that time everyone got up, but Lord Shiva did not get up. And he felt very offended. He started to blaspheme. So all the blasphemers, offenders, you know, they are in ignorance, but sometimes they are devotees too. So that comes in, you know, in that category. And then there is chapter when, you know, Lord Shiva beheaded Daksha Prajapati. So there are various chapters where we can learn about ignorance. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.